Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Chloe. Welcome to What's Your Next podcast.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Hello. So what have you been up to?
I have been in the writing cave. I am working on the fourth Bergman book, With You Forever, which is coming in September 14th. So yeah, I have just the constraints of pandemic. You know, I've got two kids doing virtual learning most of the time. And so I'm just a little bit slower of a writing and revising process than outside of this time, but I'm just trying to kind of enjoy it for what it is and read good books when I need to take mental breaks from writing. So that's sort of where I've been. Write, read, read, write, back and forth.
I like
watch, rinse, repeat.
So we're going to talk about you in a few, but first let's talk about your writing. Let's talk about the Berman Brothers, because it's a popular series and it's available on audio, it's available on multiple formats. Talk to us about the series for new readers who have not discovered yet.
Okay, so the Bergman brothers, that's mostly for alliteration. It's actually the Bergman siblings. We do have, they are a large Swedish-American family, five brothers and two sisters, and each of their books is a standalone. They are slightly interconnected, so you get cameos from past couples and such. If you fell for the Bridgertons and you like that kind of family saga style storytelling, and this might be for you, they are slow burn contemporary romances. I call my writing inclusive romance in that I try to broaden representation from what we often see in romance. So you're going to see people of different backgrounds, body shapes, disabilities, experiencing chronic conditions, neurodiverse, disabled, etc. And I'm just kind of trying to write stories that feel maybe they're a little bit more relatable to the everyday person, but still give you those butterflies in your stomach and give you a fun plot and make you laugh and maybe tear up a little bit and fan yourself. So yeah, the Bergman Brothers, the first one is Only When It's Us, the Frenemies to Lovers. The second is a Friends to Lovers Forbidden work romance with autism rep. And the third book is Marriage in Crisis with Generalized Anxiety Disorder rep and a curvy heroine. And my newest one has chronic inflammatory bowel disease rep, which I'm super excited because I feel like we have so much stigma around bowel stuff, GI issues, all of this. So I'm really excited to bring that. I'm someone with celiac disease and I have my own intestinal stuff. So I'm like really glad to bring that rep and autism rep again in our hero. So yeah, that's the Bergman's in a nutshell. And they are available, like you said, in audio and paperback and ebook.
And you can borrow them from your library. A lot of libraries have been purchasing them. So
yes, the libraries have paperbacks and audio. Right now, the books are still exclusive to Amazon, but they will be coming out over the summer and I'm going to be running some sales. So we'll kind of try to make it like a fun deal time to pick up the Kindle edition. And then they will also be available in your library. And I'm a huge public library fan. So I'm super excited about that.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Yeah, I love the fact that I've been able to listen to audios on Hoopla. It's been like, I bought the audios, but then I'm like, let me just borrow them. So then they can actually say like people are borrowing them so we can actually pay for licensing. Yeah. So
yeah.
So it's kind of like,
I'm really happy with the audios. It's just, and I'm really excited. This fourth book will be the first time that I'm doing a simultaneous release. And that's also a little bit why there's been a bit more distance between my last release in January and this one coming in September, was I really wanted to be thoughtful of my readers who need to read exclusively through audio. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, that would stink to have a book really looking forward to and have to wait months. So I just, I talked with Pantor and we made it work. So yeah, I'm excited that it's going to be a simultaneous release this time.
Oh, this is so exciting. So let's have some book recommendations. So we're going to talk about some high heat, you know, steamy, I don't know, like just the good old fun romance.
Hot romance.
Yeah, like hog, hog, hog. So do you have any, let's talk some recommendations. Like, first of all, like, why is it important to look for that for high heat or hot Romans, you know? Mm-hmm. And then.
Well, yeah, you could go, I'm sorry. I mean, I think I can't always read high heat, hot Romans, because then I'm like, whew, I got to cool down a little bit, you know? I love to read a variety, right? And I do think that you can actually have romances that don't maybe show a lot of on-page intimacy, but that are very hot in a way, like that create sexual tension and craft longing and desire so well. People We Meet on Vacation, I feel like, was an example of that, where I just felt an incredible like sexual chemistry and tension all throughout with these friends. And it does have an intimate scene, but it's not like some other hot romances where there's tons of on-page sex, right? So this was, I think it can be done all sort of differently, but I feel like what I want to talk about is the ones that have a lot on page and make me sweat. And I think it's important to have that, because this is something that culturally we are taught is shameful, and, you know, something that maybe a lot of us were raised that wasn't like okay to think about or desire, that even just having a response physically and in your brain chemistry when you read these stories, something that when we were younger, we're like, oh, you shouldn't want that or feel that. So romance is a great way of like rewiring ourselves to feel empowered and happy reading about people, having great passion and desire for each other can help us figure out things that we like and that we respond to. And then we can take that into our own lives, and it can just be fun. It's fun, you know, it feels mm-hmm. good. To read a hot book.
It is a lot of fun. I feel like I faces, so like I'm like right now I'm in a white face, which is like no high heat, and I am fine with it. Please do not have that. But then I go like I read an Erin McClellan or a Nikki Sloan, and I'm like, I know what I'm getting into, and I'm getting like some high heat, some like fun stuff, some taboo, some erotica. And it's just like, man, it's like nice to like try different places, different books, and to see where it leads. Like, it doesn't always have to be so high heat, or it doesn't always have to be close door. It can just be like a like range of places.
Exactly. And that I really do think there's something for everyone. And I think, you know, some authors will really write like one heat level all the time, and then that's nice to know what that author is, and then you just know that, oh, when I want a hot one, this is who I go to. And then there are some authors who kind of dabbled in all ranges of heat, and then you can just enjoy their writing style and all the different ways that they explore intimacy on page or, you know, implied. So yeah, it's nice to just have those couple authors that you know what you're getting from them, you know it's gonna be good.
So let's talk about some books and some recommendations.
All right. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go?
Let's go first. You go first.
All right. So my first recommendation, and this is a fairly recent read for me, is The Beast of Beswick by Amelie Howard. Oh, man. This was, my Kindle had condensation. It was sweating. So this is an historical romance. The tropes are A Beauty and the Beast, retelling, and A Marriage of Convenience. This was so delicious because it's like a true marriage of convenience, is that this is practical only, but they are so lusty for each other right off the bat. And it has a delicious like layer of intimacy and emotionality, because he's so heavily scarred. And so, you know, he has deeply internalized this belief that he isn't desirable. And she desires him, and he desires her. And what I loved about it was there was a lot of sex in the book. And often I find that when we have a lot of on-page intimacy, it can get repetitive, or it starts to veer into the realm where it's not developing the story and the characters anymore. And again, that's like fine. I mean, that's what erotic is, right? It's just like, hey, you're gonna read sex right now, it's gonna happen. It's not imperative to developing the plot. But this story, and what I feel like I tend to enjoy, is like it had a lot, and it always deepened something between them. It always developed something between them. And it was just incredibly well done. There was variety of location, intensity, tenderness. It was just really, really sexy. Probably the hottest historical romance I have ever read. And I literally like sat down and ignored everything all day and read it, which basically hasn't happened since I read Tessa Dare. Like, she's been the most, this book was the most compelling to me in a long time. Whew. Man, now I want to reread it.
Oh my gosh, I'm adding that to my TBR. I heard like great things about it, and I was like, oh my God, there's so many books, but that one sounds so good. So
yeah, it really, really is. Whew. Yeah. So that's my first. What about you, Laura?
So I think I'm going to go with a book that's coming out next month, but it's just like chef's kiss. And it was Katie Roberts' Neon Gods, which is a Hades and Persephone's retelling. And I have to say, like, I didn't realize I love Hades and Persephone retellings, but they're like, it's just like the bargain, the whole Olympus, the whole sex scene. And he's like, we're going to do a bargain. You're not going to marry Zeus. You're going to be with me. We're going to have public sex. And it was just like hot. Yes.
Woo-wee.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So,
I love it.
He's like, I'm not going to share you, but we're going to have public sex. I have like these sex parties, and it's just like so good. Cause for Hades, even though he's supposed to be the king of the underworld and he's supposed to be the mean guy, he's really a cinnamon roll. So he's like, everyone loves him. And he's like, I don't understand why you'll love me. Bad. And it's like, they all love me.
I love that. I've heard so many great things about Katie Roberts. So she is definitely on my TBR. Yeah. And so many great things about Neon Gods. So I'm really, really glad that worked for you.
Yeah.
And I love a good taboo. It's truly escape. It's like this, it gets you into your imagination, and it's a thrill. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It is. So what's your next book?
All right. My next one would be, this is, a book by a backlist titled by Alexis Hall, and a lot of people might know him from Boyfriend Material, which came out last year through Sourcebooks. But For Real is something that he originally published, I think, with Riptide Publishing, and I believe it's going to be republished in a special edition through Sourcebooks soon. But For Real is a male-male age gap, heavily kinky romance. Mm-hmm. What I thought was so incredible about For Real, and this is true for all of Alexis Hall's writing, was the incredible emotionality and nuance in how he represents connection between people and how that infused the kink and BDSM aspect of this. So Laurie is almost 40, and this is set in the UK. So he's like, I forget what they're called, but like trauma hospitalist or something. Like, so he works like in an incredibly intense part of the hospital, and he's just kind of like numbed out. He hasn't been with anybody in like 5 years. He's a submissive. He's this big, hot submissive. Mm-hmm. He's like, this like older guy. And he's just really unmoored and lost. And his friends drag him to a BDSM club. And he's like totally not into it. But then there's Toby. And Toby's just this slight young. And he's like not very well dressed. He has acne. He's so much just still on the cusp of adulthood. But he has this dominant energy, and they enter into this like, okay, Toby's going to learn how to be a dom. Laura's going to get some time and dipping his toes back into submission. And it ends up being this incredible love story. There's an amazing scene where Laurie's in a submissive position while Toby's like cooking in the kitchen and has him like on the kitchen table. It was just, wow. Mm-hmm. Toby's also a great cook, and this is something Alexis always does in his books, is make me hungry. Alexis must be a good cook, or he loves to eat, because Toby's a wonderful chef, and there's like all these great food moments. Yeah, and it was really hot. It was mm-hmm. just, and like what I loved about The Beast of Beswick, it was always dynamic. There was a lot happening on page, and it was always taking me somewhere and doing something new. And there was a semi-public scene. So hot between them. And I loved it. And I think kink can be done in like this really careless, like stereotyped way. And that is never how it is with Alexis. He's so specific and nuanced to the people. It was divine. Yep. For Real.
Ooh, I love this. Is that I've been borrowing that book over and over, and it's always like when it gets to, I'm like, I'm not in the mood for it. And I'm like, I just need to make the time for it because I know it's going to be chef's kiss. It's so good.
It, yeah, once you get like a couple chapters in, you're just like sucked into it. I will say, I feel like Molly of Molly's Bookshelf and I were reading it around the same time when we checked in with each other, and she was like, I want to go slow and savor it, but whereas I was like, I devoured it. But I really I think it is a book you can like take your time and just, it's so rich. It's like a feast to savor.
There we go. I love this. So in the spirit of BDSM, I'm going to share The Professional by Cressley Cole. It's a mafia Russian romance where they get it on within like the first 30 pages. Like he kidnaps her. He's like, you're going to go back to Russia to meet your father that she's been trying to find over and over. And he's a headman or something like that. He's kind of like, he works for the mafia. And right before they get to the helicopter, they get it on in the cornfield in the middle of Iowa, like, or Nebraska. I don't know, it's like some random Midwestern state. There's a lot of corn and they just get it on there. And then they're like
corn.
And the point is like, he's like, I can't have you, but they're like, but we can. She's like, but we can. I can't. Yeah, in a Russian accent, you know. So they go to a sex club, date you. Again, the whole public sex scenes. Like, it's like, but he doesn't share with her. He just has, like, he just gets a private room for them to get on and then to watch public sex happen.
Oh, I see. So some voyeurism then.
Yeah. So, but it was excellent. And you can borrow from the library. It's a backlist title. So
nice. That sounds hot.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, so my next one's a backlist too, and it is an older Christina Loren title, Beautiful Player. Mm-hmm. And I am just a sucker for a sex lessons book. Like, teach me, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll teach you. Oh shit, you taught me. It's just the best thing ever. Because there's this like jadedness, and there's a loss of novelty to intimacy for people who are like, yeah, I'm a rake, you know, I know all there is to know, I'm a player, I know all there is to know about this, there's no new tricks for me. And then of course when they're teaching the blue stocking or the novice or whatever, they discover something new about themselves. So I just love that. Will and Hannah, it's also it's best friend's sister, right? Because Will's best friend's with her older brother.
Yeah.
So, and for her, it's her brother's best friend, right? And I think that can be really fun. I thought it was handled pretty well. It wasn't like, you know, it can kind of be fairly territorial and like toxic masculinity, and this wasn't it. But there's just something really, really hot about it. Like Hannah is a scientist, so she just has all these very detailed questions. And Will is a scientist too, though he's more of like an entrepreneurial application of science at that point when they're together. But he just gets it. So they kind of bond over this like nerdy way of talking about the details and the mechanics. And it just completely undoes him. And he is so freaking gone for her. And she doesn't know it at all. And it just, it was just classic old school sexy CeeLo. So yeah, Beautiful Player. I've reread it. I can't even tell you how many times I've reread it. I'm like, I'll just reread that one chapter. And then I read the whole thing.
I feel like the whole series is like, in the Wild series, those 14 books are just like high heat, high romance. Yeah. Like they're just,
yeah,
they're getting it on. They're having some good.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. I feel like Wild season's the first one with Ansel and Nia. Mm-hmm. He has a French accent, and I just don't really know that you can do any make it anything any better than that. Like, mm-hmm. He calls her Sherry because she has her cherry lips. Like, oh my god,
yeah,
it's so good. Yeah,
so good. So I have two recommendations. They both are within the same trail, which is the age gap, reverse age gap, where when the heroine is older, is like in her 40s, and then the hero is like 2024. So the first one is non-romance. I gotta stipulate, but it's so good. It's AW. Like it's like the pandemic reading. You just have to pick it up. It's a Harry Styles fan fiction. It's just like perfection. So the second one is The Pool Boy by Nikki Sloan. She's a manager in she's a manager, and then he's the pool boy, but he's also her best friend's son, and they get it on. Like, she's like topless in a pool, and he comes to clean the pool, and then they just get it on, and they're
then
like,
they just do it.
Watch each other get it off, and then they're like, they start getting it on, and then
he
confesses that he's been wanting to be with her for 4 years. So it's like pining, it's like tension, it's like I love you, it's so good. And this was NC-17 content, like it's like there's pushes the boundaries. So
gotcha. And I actually saw that. I feel like it came out fairly recently. Is that right?
It came out last year, so.
Okay. So. I've seen it floating. Ha ha, no pun intended. Pool boy floating. Seen it floating around. And I definitely, I love a reverse age gap. I just think it's great escapism. Mm-hmm. All right. So my last one is, this is a backlist. And this is also a BDSM. And it is called The Marriage Games, The Marriage Duet by CD Reeves. And it is a very sexy exploration of a couple who are, their marriage is on the rocks at the beginning. His wife files for divorce and he's like, no, you know, like it's really out of the blue. And what his friend, like his sort of mentor comes, kind of confronts him and says like, well, you know, you've been hiding your real sexuality. You've been vanilla with her and she knows you're holding something back. So you got to come clean with her. You got to tell her what it is. So they end up going away to their little like cabin in, I think, is it upstate New York maybe? I don't know. But anyway, and he's like, you know, give me a week to like show you who I really am and then we'll decide if we want this. And then she discovers her submissive sexuality, but they're both like outside of the bedroom, they're like alphas and it's super intense. And CD Reeves writes like cinematic, it's like cinematography. It's so visual. You can tell, I feel like she has to have like done film writing because it's so sharp and snappy. And it's really just dirty talk and hot. And I don't know, I think a lot of people who are married will like, just, it's kind of cool to see a married couple like who have that background and who are like kind of duking it out a little bit and like finding their way back to each other, you know, while tethering each other to things and all doing all the fun wild discovery. So I don't know. It was good. It was hot, hot, hot.
I love this. So I got some BDSM recommendations. So I think if you want to see a reset, you just want to like, it's a little crazy. It's a little out there. It's romantic suspense, but there's BDSM and there's like some reality with it. I would say the Master Missionary series by Lexi Blake. There's like 30 books in the series. Like I spent a summer I spent 1 month like binge reading them. Like I was like one after the other. And they're like a little crazy, a little out there. You're like, okay, like you gotta suspend disbelief, but they're like, you're so good. And so that's for BDSM. And I would say the other one, if you like to follow one couple and going through the journey of BDSM, I would say The Boss by Abigail Burnett. It's an 8-book series. I read the first 5 or 6 books of the series. And it's just so good. It just follows one couple. And they have a happily ever after each one of them. But it's just like, they're like the explanation of the story and stuff. And that's an age gap of he's older. He's much older than she is. They meet at a layover when she's like 20 and he's like in his 40s. They had sex one night. They had this. And then she finds out like a few years later, she comes back and like has a job and he's her boss. And that's why. And then they just like get married and all the stuff. And, you know, and they're the best part is that she's childless by choice. Which I think you don't see that often in romance. Like, you know.
No, you don't, yeah.
You see them like, oh, I'm just going to have a baby. Like, we're going to be married. And she's like, no, I don't want to have kids, you know. So.
I think it's great to see that.
Yeah. So those are our recommendations.
Some good ones.
So, Chloe, tell us where you can find me online.
You can find me. I'm often on Instagram. My handle is @Chloe_Lise, LIESE. Same thing with Twitter. Those are the places I'm most active. And then my website is ChloeLise.com. And of course, you can find the social links on my Instagram. So that's kind of a good hub point. And then also I have a Facebook page you can find through there.
Thank you, Chloe, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The Watch Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.